Welcome to the Grace Church Parent Team Podcast, where we believe that when parents are healthy, everyone wins. We know that parenting is no small task and that it's normal to wonder if you're getting it right. And this podcast is here to come alongside of you. It's going to offer parenting tips and biblical wisdom for the real life challenges that come with raising kids from elementary to high school. My name is Jocelyn Olminski, and I'll be your host for these conversations. And so we're kicking off with the authors of Away Game, Brian and Ed Uzensky, and it's a very helpful, practical book that talks about addressing the youth sports culture. And we had such a good time with talking to them and hearing about everything that was in their book. And so we hope that you enjoyed these conversations as much as we did.
We are here with Ed Uzensky and Brian Smith today from the Away Game. Guys, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, good to be here this morning.
So I've been talking about this Away Game book for a while. It impacted me a lot. I'm a sports fan and a man of faith, and super passionate about what you guys did. But just for starters, why don't you talk a little bit about what does Away Game mean and kind of how we got here to you guys creating this?
Yeah, Away Game, the title comes from really two different angles. One is most of us who have been in and around sports know the feeling of playing an away game. It's an unpredictable environment, even on a youth sports stage. Like, you don't really know where the bathrooms are. You don't know what it's going to cost to get in. You know the environment is probably not going to be conducive to bringing out the best in your team just because of all these other factors that are unpredictable. And so there's one side of it. The other side of the title, the play on words, is that as Christians, we, living in the space we're at right now, we are in a sense playing an away game. The Bible's going to use language like we are strangers in a foreign land. And so the biblical character we're trying to model this book after is actually Daniel, who was in he was in Babylon in an environment that was really quite anti-God. And so he did not just huddle up and separate from culture. He did not try to escape, but he found out, what does it actually look like for me to rally around with a group of core friends and live faithfully within a system that really is anti-God? And that's what we're trying to do in the book and through the title Away Games. We're saying there's actually a way forward where we can live in the youth sports space in a way that honors God without forming our own holy huddles, but also without completely accepting this culture either. We can live faithfully in the midst of it.
Most of the time, what we experienced, even when we started 15 years ago, is that there's this huge separation for us when it comes to our Christian faith and sports, youth sports. So we started to talk and just realized we needed an intervention years ago ourselves. It just needed help. There just wasn't hardly anything written. There wasn't hardly anything being talked about. And we said, well, gosh, this is our vocational world. This is what we do in ministry with older kids. What would it look like for us to try to help ourselves as parents on the youth sports level? And that's what gave birth to the book. We really started writing it a long time ago, just in our with each other, and then finally put it down to print a year ago.
Living it for 15 years and then finally writing it. Right.
Yeah, I think that's helpful, like that metaphor itself, to reframe parenting, because sports is not like the enemy. Sports is just like any other worldly system that our kids are experiencing and having to navigate. And so it just allows parents to know the game that they're actually playing on. And you talked about how even the book is, the idea is that it's similar to Daniel and how he lived in Babylon, and the culture had its own demands and its own pressures. My question would be, what are those like pressures and expectations and demands that kids in sports feel today that might be contradicting to a biblical idea, or like even what a Christian family would be structured like?
What's happened in the last two decades has just taken it completely in a different direction from what it was. So it used to be primarily about play. Youth sports were, and now it really is mostly about performance and winning and trying to kind of go up this ladder right from 5-6 years old on. used to be really kid-centered, and now it's really more adult and coach and parent-centered in a bunch of different ways. It used to be affordable for everybody. Youth sports was. It's increasingly becoming a luxury. It's expensive to try to step into youth sports in ways that were just never heard of before 20 years ago. It used to be entirely local, where you were just playing against other kids in the surrounding area. And now it's almost always intrastate. You're going across state lines to go play. I have examples, recent examples of friends and family to play youth sports. And then, of course, where you would play baseball for 6 weeks in a structured way, and then the rest of the time you were playing home run or strikeout, you know, at a local school on the parking lot. And now it's literally year round. As early as possible, we're being just to specialize in one sport, so dominates 12 months of the year. That's all really new. And it creates an incredible amount of pressure for all of us. Saying whether that's good or bad, it just is. Like you just said, Jocelyn, this is just the playing field that we're all dealing with. And it's very stressful. And creates anxiety and forces us to have to make lots of choices. So that's just on a macro level. Brian, how to that?
The latest statistic is 70% of kids are quitting by the age of 13. So sports were made to be fun. They're made to be this environment where kids can enjoy and play and be social with other kids. But we've as adults turned this into a system that's trying to really become a means to an end instead of just an end in and of itself. And I think that's the tragic irony of what youth sports has become, is we've tried to turn it into something really that it shouldn't be. It should just be a place where our kids are enjoying it, playing it, and learning about themselves, not necessarily trying to get the college scholarship or even a spot on the high school team. The system we've created is almost guaranteeing that they're going to quit before they even get to high school.
Yeah, I just want to say, I know people are probably listening to this thinking like, what do you do? The reason why I love the book and I love all that we just laid out here is that everything that inspires me after reading this and all these discussions I've especially had these last few years is the opportunity is not about stopping the train of travel sports, right? I keep saying it's not stopping the train. It's jumping on the train and just maybe guiding it to new cool places that maybe we haven't gone before. I hope people listening take this as like inspiration that, you know, everybody in this travel sports world are not, you know, trying to manipulate anything. And you guys do a great job in the book of saying that, like, we're just trying to say, like, how do we get back to coming alongside these kids and making sure that we're getting a chance to lead them and that we can creatively come alongside it. Like you said, I believe the church has a role in this, that there is room for this middle ground of sports. It's not just the very, very beginning part or this traveling multi-state, as Ed was saying. There's this opportunity to do more and more high level fun sport that still just plays your local areas around you, you know? Yeah. And I feel like my hope and dream is that the church and local communities can kind of come alongside that and bring back that middle ground. So kids are not quitting at 13, because what's happening, like you guys know, that's not even maybe because you want to, but if I can't make the middle school team, I'm kind of done because there's not this middle ground. I can't keep playing basketball. I can't keep playing baseball. If I'm going to make the team, I got to hurry up and go find another sport like musical chairs. And if we can create more of a fun middle ground where I can keep playing a sport I love, even if I don't make the team, that's an option. And maybe if I don't make the team in seventh grade, I can make it in ninth grade because I got to keep playing it. And I grew and I did whatever. So that's what gets me excited, is that how do we kind of guide this train to cool in new places that maybe it's not going now.
Two different conversations where reform needs to happen. One, like you said, Mark, somebody needs to be responsible to say, how do we create new and different opportunities for youth to happen where you'd have to get on that speeding train that you just described, Mark, that middle ground that you talked about. And some people are doing that. I know organizations like FCA are trying to start local leagues. And, you know, there are administrators and entrepreneurs figure out how do we create more opportunities. But another level of reform that all of us need to be involved in starts with me. I need to change as a parent. That's maybe one of the harder changes to have to face. I need to change what my expectations are. I need to get some spiritual smelling salts that kind of snap me out of the stupor of just going along with what the system is offering and recognize that I can actually play a role, whether I'm in a rec league or I'm in a international traveling league. Who am I with my child in the midst of that? And what am I doing with him or her in the midst of the youth sport experience? And again, we can talk more about that as it unfolds. Brian, what were you getting ready to say?
I was going to say, yeah, in response to Mark, the Christian faith actually provides a lot of the answers that we're looking for. It's really easy to spiral and get frustrated with the youth sport industrial complex as it is and wondering like, man, what can we do to change it or to live faithfully in this moment? And the Christian faith actually gives us some really accessible answers. It allows us to uphold a high value of play as we recognize that play actually comes from a God who delights in it and designed us to play. It comes from a faith system that gives us a perspective that hopefully transcends the immediacy of what's going on, that we can have this ability to step back and go, there might be something more going on here than just an opportunity to make a high school team. Maybe God's actually doing something through my kid and through me and through the team in this moment that transcends just us getting the win or being a well-oiled machine at this level. It gives us the opportunity, we've said this many times, to have a front row seat to seeing our kids go through every possible emotion that sports provides. And then we, as the people that help shape their character, we get to step back and go, man, God, how can I take what I just saw in practice or in the game and ask a good question around that or turn this into a teaching opportunity so that what's actually happening in the game is really turning out to develop their character in a way if they did not play, this would not be developed. And so this is the thing that gets us excited, is that our faith actually provides us answers where we don't need to just throw the youth sports industrial complex completely out. We can partner with what's going on in culture and say, God, let's actually redeem this moment for the good of our kids, for our own sanity, and for your glory.
So what are the boundaries that parents should have?
Yeah, I think a really two boundaries that stand out up front is maybe we need to talk less on a couple different levels. One, on the sidelines, there's just a massive amount of voices and high level of intensity, and it's creating an atmosphere for our kids where they are becoming more anxious and the pressure is getting to them. So I think on one level, we can tone down just the intensity that we're projecting on the sideline. The other is like, and I know we'll get to this later, the car ride home in the margins of sport. We could probably talk a little bit less, try to connect a little bit more. Our kids don't need us coaching and critiquing. They have their coaches and their teams can help do that. We can just be the parents. So when there is an opportunity where they are maybe coming to us asking for feedback, then we can give it. But I would encourage parents that we could probably turn the volume down on our coaching. And then another really tangible one that we could do differently is we could spend less money. And I know that that may trigger some people, but there's increasing amount of studies showing that the more money we spend in youth sports, the less our kids are actually enjoying it, just because of all the pressure that comes with the $600 bat and the traveling across state line and the being on the elite team. Is our kids are internalizing all of this investment that we're putting into them, and it's creating an immense amount of pressure, and they're not enjoying it. So, yeah, two boundaries, safeguards that I would at least put in front of us as categories to think through is saying less and spending less.
Yeah, and again, and I love that. I love those answers on the ground of when actual competing is happening. And again, maybe I want to go back up to a higher level, because Jocelyn, you said that sports is all consuming, and you know that it just kind of takes over. And I want to give myself permission and other adults permission to say no to that. It doesn't have to become all consuming. I actually can say we're not going to go to these practices on Wednesday night if that's when our church is meeting, or if there's a small group time that's during the week at some point. We're not going to compete on Sunday morning. You actually can say that and stand by that, especially with little kids, which again, where's that line of you know, where they stop being little when they get to high school? But certainly before that, I can reserve the right as a parent and an adult to talk to the coach and say that we want to be on this team. Here's our one boundary that we have, is we're not going to be available maybe for these weekends, or you know, for these Sundays or whatever. You can get some control over what's happening. You don't have to just go along with what's being served up, which I think most of us think we do. And then you put two or three kids in the home, and then that's when it just gets completely out of control. And so we have to do some, what do you call it? Some calendar budgeting. We've talked a lot about this, to actually step back and look at the entirety of our year. If we have several kids that are playing youth sports, and what is it going to mean for us across the year for them playing these different sports? Let's at least become aware of, maybe this is going to be a 6-week window where we're just going to lose our minds for a stretch, but we're not doing that the other 11 months. Or maybe we realize that, no, this is a 7-month thing. And it's like, well, we need to talk as a couple and as a, how we're not going to do that. You know, how do we manage that together instead of just going along for the ride? Well, why did we go to watch this 8-year-old tournament 3 states away, and we've been sitting here and they played, you know, they played a total of about 45 minutes they were on the field, but we just spent 3 days in hotels and having to pay for food and all this. It's like, we don't have to do that.
I like the calendar budget idea. The calendar budget idea, Ed's a great, I love that term too. I think what I keep hearing is just it is a family decision, just like anything else. So again, there's plenty of people listening right now. Like, kids love sports, or some of your kids are amazing at sports. Like, this is what they want to do. It's just thing, these calendar budgets and even the financial conversations. Brian said that I've had many conversations in the lobby of talking to parents where they get caught up and we spent X amount, so you've got to play this week. You're like, you don't mean to, it just comes out. It happens to the best of the best parents, but we sometimes can project this calendar time and the financial stuff we spent on the kids. And so now, you know, it continues to kind of like Legos compound themselves in terms of stress and pressure versus like, I'm playing, I do love it, but it's because I get to play with Billy and friends, not because we spent X amount or because we did X amount. So I love that idea. It's just have a discussion, understand what they truly want to love. And this could go beyond sports. That's anything that they'll do passionately.
What are we signing for, not signing up for? Once we sign for it, are we putting any limits on what our participant is in that sign up? Those are conversations that need to be had. And again, you have permission to be the adult, to have some control over what you're going to say yes and no to. The other thing is, though, is when our kids are playing sports, that we need to have different metrics that are being brought to the table besides just, are they getting to play? How well are they playing? Are we winning? Are they excelling in skill development? That's an important piece of it. We're not saying that goes away, but what needs to be added to that, and maybe there even needs to be an overcorrection for some of us, is to stop spending so much energy on worrying about skill performance in our 8-year-old or 12-year-old, and arm ourselves with a different set of questions. That's going to require that I ask different questions than just, how was practice and how did you do, versus who did you have fun with today and who seemed like they were struggling? Did you notice anybody that was struggling? That's just a completely different conversation you wind up having with your kid. And that's what we're calling ourselves to.
Yeah, I mean, you guys touched on a lot of things that are helpful to parents. And I think even making sure parents have the right priorities and like know what's most important. I often hear parents say that they're forced to like pick between sports or church or even extracurriculars in church. And oftentimes that shows up on a Wednesday or a youth group night when they can't be a part of that whenever their practices are happening or their games. And you mentioned that, like, you can just say no. You can tell the coach that that's just not what we're going to do. And I've even had students that talk about having that difficult conversation with their coach and it going surprisingly better than they thought. But also, if they have to be at the game and they're required, then, like, they're just going to miss out on youth group for a couple months until the season is over. And that's okay, too. It's not like they're their faith doesn't have to be dependent on just when they're in the church building. And that's where I think parents can help when they're not able to be at the church as often to still invest into them spiritually. Would you say anything to encourage parents as they're wrestling with that tension?
We have a pastor friend named David Prince, and he has pointed out that when he has people involved in his church who miss a Sunday service because they have a lake house and they just want to take a weekend away at the lake, he points out that the lake did not cause you to miss church. Your boat did not cause you to miss church. You actually, and it's okay from time to time, right? You actually prioritized going to the lake. You prioritized spending time on the boat. And so the lake didn't force you to do that. In the same way, youth sports does not force us to have these conversations. We're actually the ones choosing it. And Jocelyn, you mentioned it. A lot of times these conversations will go better than we expect them to with the coach. And that's where I think we would land on this issue is, have you, parent, you had the conversation with the coach of, hey, we prioritize going to church on Saturday night or Sunday night or Sunday morning. If we were to miss a practice or a game, what would the consequences of that be? Or just to say, like, hey, we're not going to be there on Sunday morning because we prioritize church. What's that going to mean for the next week of practice or the games in the coming week? And just then put that on the coach, that we don't have to be apologetic about this. We are the ones who are actually paying to be involved in this process. And so as the consumer of this product, we get a say in what we're buying into as well. But it is dependent on us to come to the coach and say, hey, this is a value system of ours. How can we make this work?
Yeah. So good, Brian. Well, and Jocelyn, you also, you said, you're making me think about this. If my child's entire spiritual development is dependent on them showing up service, we've already got a problem. As a parent, I need to be, and again, this is a hard conversation to have with my son and with my spouse. If our week does not have any other spiritual inputs, if there's no other spiritual conversations happening, initiated by me as the dad or by Amy, my wife, if we're not doing that during the week, what show up in church is really the lead of our problems. Like our trajectory needs to look different than just we our spiritual development is entirely dependent on showing up in a. And that's really, again, what the book is about, is it's helping us to do that. Here's the kinds of questions that you can initiate with spiritual-based conversations in the context of sports. Here's how to talk about character and virtue, things that you actually care about, to look like sports. But first, I'm the one that's going to need some reformation. Brian realizes he needs some. I need to change the way I'm thinking about this whole thing and what my role is in it, and not just expect that the church is going to be the spiritual leader and the whole youth sports thing is just getting in the way of that.
I'm getting super passionate about this, because thinking about it, it is a three-legged stool, right? And so, like, it becomes super clear as we're all talking, like, there's the coach, there's the parent, there's the church. all of that plays a role in it. So it's if all the church is doing is saying, well, you don't show up on Wednesday nights, you're not taking your faith to heart, then that's us to not give them up or other ways to pour into their faith. If the parents are saying that's the only way, and I will say from a coach's perspective, if parents and aren't speaking up to these things and asking for it, they only know what they know. Those coaches are going to treat things the exact same way that were treated maybe as a kid or their kid was treated by another coach, right? So like if we're quietly grumbling about it, but we're not coming to the coach saying we are super excited for this team, but here's these couple things that are important to us or whatnot, then how are we expecting the coach to know it? So I think it's what's exciting and fun for me is like, this is all about all these parts thinking together.
We hope that you enjoyed that first conversation with Brian and Ed, and that we should prioritize character over achievement, over skill, over performance, and that is the highest priority. And so we hope that you enjoyed listening. We pray that it would be a helpful resource to you. And so thanks for checking it out.